Turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 26. It says, "Then at Mount Sinai," we're in the Amplified, "his voice shook the earth, but now he is given a promise, yet once more, I will shake and make tremble not only the earth, but also the starry heavens." Now this expression, "yet once more," indicates the final removal and transformation of all that can be shaken, that is, of that which has been created, in order that that which cannot be shaken may remain and continue. Let us therefore, receiving a kingdom that is firm and stable and cannot be shaken, offer to God pleasing sacrifice, service, acceptable worship, with modesty and pious care and godly fear and awe. For our God is indeed a consuming fire. The time is soon to come that we're going to see things shake that we thought could never be shaken. Things that we thought really and truly were immovable. Yet because of God's higher purpose, his more express plan, these things are going to shake. But they're going to shake in order that those things that cannot be shaken can stand. I was thinking about this passage earlier today as I was meditating on it, wondering what the Lord might have me share. And in my thoughts came the idea, what of earth? What do we see on earth would change at a moment like this, so that things that cannot be shaken can stand? What things that are necessary for the future, for the days ahead, to help us understand the kingdom? What is it that might appear? And I think we are beginning to see a little bit of that now. I know there have been great, great moves of God in the earth, wherein he has manifested not only healings and miracles, but incredible spiritual experiences where people could see, hear, touch, smell, those things of heaven that perhaps have never been seen on earth before. They were so amazing that these things would draw crowds from far and wide, although we were not in the days of busy automobiles and jet planes and so on. But people would hear of the things that people were seeing. And in these meetings, they would see not only maybe something given to a solitary person, but sometimes things would appear in the sanctuary and be seen by all. And even in that time, although it might have primarily been a time of giving us a foretaste of something that would be coming along in the future, but I think that it was also something that brought about changes, even then, that perhaps we do not know. I know of one man who saw images, pictures, moving images of things that are only now beginning to be seen. And this was 120 years ago that these kinds of things were happening. So even then, we had times of awakening to the realm of the future. And I believe that that's what God is beginning to show us even now. Personally, I have seen things that I can only imagine the purpose that they might serve. Some things that I see, it is shown to me in such a way that I pretty much know what it is and I know how they're going to use it. What I don't know is what I can't see and what more it might be able to do if the need should arise. And I think we're going to see lots of that kind of thing. I remember at one point in that, I think I may have even seen that this year. I saw a moving, would I call it a jet or would I call it a vehicle? I don't know what I would call it, but it was moving through the darkness of the heavens, coming into an airport region in a large metropolitan area. It didn't look like a jet. It didn't look like a rocket. It didn't look like a plane. It didn't look like a car or a bus. But it was a vessel. It was a vehicle. Very unusual. But very, very high tech. The lights were on inside so that I could see at least some of the inside. And it looked like something that could move about maybe a group the size of I don't know, businessmen having a business meeting, and maybe they were going to have part of their meeting en route. So coming from one area of who knows where, whether it was another area of the States or maybe another country, they were flying in and some were moving about, some were sitting around like an oblong table, looking like they were having some kind of business meeting. But this thing, to describe it, I think you'd have to have a bigger technical vocabulary to describe what I saw. I've never seen the likes. I've never seen pictures that would display it as a proposal. I've never seen the likes of this kind of vessel or vehicle or whatever you want to call it. But it looked like something that could not only moved to the heavens, but could be brought down to earth and maybe even move on the ground. It wasn't a helicopter or any kind of something that could be used as a helicopter and something on the ground. I've seen that. But no, this was definitely something that could fly maybe 300, 350 miles an hour. It was closer in transport of that nature to a jet. So this was a vision. Now, what door in the future technical realm was opened to show me that vision? And now, it having been seen, since we know that the prophetic word literally starts the cycle of a thing coming into being. So once it is spoken, then it begins to move in a cycle until it is fully manifest. Now that we know that, I think I probably saw something that was being released at that very moment into the future. So, what is God going to shake to awaken us to something like this? We know by the scripture that this is primarily shaking the temporal and everything in the temporal realm to make way for the heavenly realm, the things that cannot be shaken. I might have said the 1,000-year reign, but at the end of the 1,000-year reign, not all will end up in heaven in eternity. They will have made decisions in that 1,000 years that will make it impossible for them to have eternal life in heaven. So there will be a shaking then as well. So how great must the shaking be to bring forth eternity? I'm not sure, but I do know that I've seen lots of things that at least might be en route to a shaking of that nature. And we are seeing things like that even now, where God is removing things. God is closing things down. Things are, you might say, being recreated in preparation for this great and glorious day that is going to follow the day of the Lord. This is a very exciting time. But in this shaking, there's also going to be a shaking of people, principalities, powers, be a shaking in the church, be a shaking at every level in preparation for the revelation of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's going to be so astounding, even those who have seen very much in their lifetime might look at it if they had been alive at this coming time, might look at it and think, wow, when I saw that X amount of years ago, I never knew that this is what it would look like when it actually came into being. So even our spiritual revelations may not be as complete as we think they are at the moment. I've had spiritual revelations that when given, I mean, I'm seeing, I'm hearing, I'm feeling, I'm moving about in it, others are moving about in it, and still the understanding, the full understanding of that spiritual revelation may not come about for months, a year, 2 years, 10 years, 15 years. I've seen things 35, 37 years ago that still have not come to pass, even in its most simple form. But it will come to pass in the days directly ahead of us. So we just don't always understand everything we see. What we do understand, we report, but it may have a different connotation or a different meaning added to it by the time it comes into fruition. But the Lord does tell us that there is a time coming when all, A-double-L, all that can be shaken will be shaken. You might look at Mount Everest and think to yourself, how in the world could that ever be shaken? Well, when the Lord speaks, anything can happen. And I mean literally anything. There isn't anything outside of the reach of not only movement, but complete transition when he speaks. He is a most powerful God. He is so powerful that he holds the universe together, but not only one universe, the universes together, to prepare us for the greatest things yet to come. In him, we live and move and have our being. Now, how many of us really can fully understand? How many of us can really fully understand an omnipotent, omniscient God who, when he speaks, nothing can withstand him? How can there be a being that has always been and ever will be, and that his word will say that he changes not? When did he begin to be? He didn't begin. He has always been and ever will be. How do we deal with something like that? Well, I'm sure if you're really a very, very brilliant person, you probably have some ideas. Personally, I'm waiting on faith to help me understand, because I start trying to understand his transcendence and I just lose it. It's just seems so impossible, so highly improbable, and yet it is. It does exist. But he's got us in this transition, and it will increase and increase and increase, continuing to increase until the time when all things come together in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us in Zechariah, let's look at that for a second. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 5 through 14. Then he said to me, this addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. So what is it first? It's the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord of hosts. So we know that the whole operation that we just saw is indicative of the Word of God, of the oil of the Spirit. But it says that it's also going to show us, teach us, reveal to us, that things that are going to transpire will not transpire by might nor by power. is not going to be revealed by the wealth of mankind or by the human might of mankind. It is going to be done by His Spirit. And we stand in awe knowing that. We weren't here to watch the seas be constructed, but I was taken into the sea, and I saw the great plates move. I saw how God created the oceans. I didn't ask for that experience, would never have known to ask for it. But He revealed it to me because He wanted me to know life by spirit and not by the might and power of man. And it was the most explosive thing that I'd ever seen in my life. If you can remember when they first came out with the surround sound theaters, I forgot what they called those. It sounded like sound was bursting out at your eardrum from every direction. It was more than multidimensional sound. It was phenomenal to people of my age when it was. You want to know how old I was? Well, I'm 71 now, so that tells you a little bit. So clear back then, I think I was, I don't know, maybe in my late 20s when that was introduced. I'm not real sure. I know that I took Ricky to see what it was like watching a movie where the sound was coming out of seemingly the walls, and the movie screen was every inch of the theater. It was an incredible experience to both of us. But this that he's talking about, and what I saw in that seabed, when I saw the very foundations break up, move, these great plates moving across the earth. Just sound was shaking me and thrusting me from one place to another. And that's not the only time that kind of thing has happened. When the Bible tells us that when the Lord spoke, the earth began to tremble, I'm telling you, the earth was trembling. It was trembling. It wasn't just thinking, ooh, I'm scared. It was trembling at the sound of his voice. He is a very powerful God, and thank his holiness. He's also a God of love. What in the world would we do if he wasn't? For who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles, before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon and was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before him? You shall become a plain, a mere molehill, and he shall bring forth the finishing gable stone of the new temple, with loud shoutings of the people crying, grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. Then you shall know, recognize, and understand that the Lord of hosts has sent me, his messenger, to you, who with reason despises the days of small things. For these seven shall rejoice, and that's the seven spirits of God, incidentally, shall rejoice when they see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then I said to him, the angel who talked with me, What are these two olive trees on the right side of the lampstand and on the left of it? And a second time I said to him, What are these two olive branches which are beside the golden tubes or spouts by which the golden oil is emptied out? And he answered me, Do you not know what these are? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the great two sons of oil, that is Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel, the prince of Judah, and the two anointed ones who stand before the Lord of the whole earth as his anointed instruments. So we have what we see here is the opening, if you will, of Melchizedek, further discussed in Psalms 110. And I'll speak that to you in a moment. But we also see, as it says, the image of the king priest. I would rather not call it anointing. I might rather call it the double yoke mantle, one that sits on the shoulders of a king. The other side sits on the shoulder of the priest. And we also see here, and if we were to keep going through this, we would see it. We would see the apostle and the prophet. Let's look at Zechariah 6:13 and see if that will tell us anything. Yes, you are building a temple of the Lord, but it is he who shall build the true temple of the Lord. It is he who shall build the true temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the honor and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between the two offices, priest and king. So in that we see a clear depiction of Melchizedek, the coming forth of Melchizedek. Let's look at Psalms 10. Probably those of you who hang around with us more than others might be more acquainted with this, because we do discuss it. Psalm 110, verse 1, And the Lord God says to my Lord, the Messiah, Sit at my right hand until I make your adversaries your footstool. And the Lord will send forth from Zion the scepter of your strength. Rule then in the midst of your foes. Your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your power, in the beauty of holiness, and in holy array. Out of the womb of the morning to you will spring forth your young men who are as the dew. And the Lord has sworn and will not revoke or change it. You are a priest forever after the manner and order of Melchizedek. Now, if you want to know and understand more about this, I have written a book about it. You can order it from the office. But the time, the beginning of the working of Melchizedek has begun. There are very few in the earth, amazingly few. I think Bob Jones said there would be only seven of these in the earth, but yet their authority, they will walk in an absolute authority, they will walk in heaven's authority, the authority of these giant people, not that they're tall, you know, in physical stature, but they're very tall in authority. Their authority between one and the other will span the whole earth. They are prepared for this hour because the greatest work that has been done since maybe the days of Pentecost, maybe even the creation of all universe, I don't know, will be happening at this time in history. But it's all in preparation for the coming of the eternal kingdom. The Lord at your right hand will shatter kings in the day of his indignation. He will execute, or so that tells us one of the things that are going to happen in the appearing of these Melchizedekian priests is great judgments will plague the earth at this time. He will execute judgment in overwhelming punishment upon the nations, and these are upon the nations that reject God. He will fill the valleys with the dead bodies. He will crush the chief heads over lands, many and far extended. He will drink of the brook by way. Therefore, he will lift up his hand triumphantly. Again, Melchizedek is not the only mantle that rests upon these people. They have dozens and dozens of mantles that function under the covering mantle of Melchizedek. What God will use them to do is to prepare things really for the revelation of the eternities. So it's going to be a very, very exciting time for God's church. So we see then Melchizedek, we see the seven spirits. Now, the Amplified reads as the eyes of the Lord. And of course, if you have seen, for instance, the beast that Ezekiel saw, they had eyes round about. So it isn't speaking of a single eye, but the eyes of God that are traveling throughout the earth, watching everything that goes on. He has amazing looking creatures, angelic beings and angelic creatures in heaven with immense intellect, ability, and so on and so forth, that travel the earth, travel all over his universe to make sure that things are staying according to the pattern of the Lord. So this is an exciting time. You talk about changes coming, you talk about changes being made, you talk about anticipations, answers to visions and dreams and prayers. You talk about wanting to know what the future really holds in God. Well, we're at the time in history when he's going to begin a new order of prophetic words that will help further open the old order of prophetic words. So these will not be designed to cancel out something he's already given, but rather to enhance something he's already given. When have we ever experienced that before? Well, we saw it in the days of Moses. And then we saw it in the days of Jesus Christ. We saw it in the days of Pentecost. God does increase, enlarge, enhance things already spoken. It's been his way from the beginning. We're only going to be ushered into a new realm of it so we can know what he's going to do. Isn't that exciting? He's so wise, he's so intelligent that to think that he would give even a spot of intellectual knowledge to the human race, and that it would mean that much coming, that much understanding. Well, I want you to know, just a spot is hundreds of years worth of information. We think computers really have a brain. Well, they need to get to know God. So this is what is coming, this shaking. But in the shaking, whether it is something that is coming soon, which is going to be minimal compared to that at the end, but the shaking that's going to come soon, or the shaking that's going to come down the road, we're going to see so many fabulous changes. We're going to see so many witty inventions, so many things that really the Spirit of God is giving birth to. That to sit and want to, say, converse with a friend about some of these things might be a little difficult to do unless God, now just think about this, unless God is planning on opening up the mind of man to understand his plans and purposes in ways he's never been able to do before. Why do we have such a large brain? Have you ever thought about that? They say we use about 10% of it. Some say, well, when we get to heaven, we'll use the other 90%. But what if he's planning on opening up a part of our brain that is laid dormant for so many generations, so that we can use the magnificence of that mind that he's given us to understand and have the knowledge of God, to understand his plans, his purposes, his ways, the way he thinks. Not like sitting down and reading someone's prophetic word, and yet we can understand basically everything that it says on with today's language, with today's use of the mind. But what if what he's going to give us to understand these greater things would require using much more than 10% of our brain? Maybe even another 10%. And with 20% of our brain in use for perceiving, recognizing, understanding the words of heaven, the language of heaven, the things of heaven, the plans and purposes of God, the mind of God, the heart of God, the Spirit of God, in a much more dimensional way than what we're able to understand it today. What in the world would that mean for humanity? I'm sure many people who are in heaven, whose mind has already been open to these newer dimensions, are already walking in places where they're seeing and perceiving things that, you know, having lived 1,000 or 2,000 years ago, they're looking at it and saying, whew. Now, if I'd seen this in my day, I never would have been able to understand it or comprehend it with even the highest intellect of anyone in our day. What if it's going to be something of that magnificence, just to understand God in a way that's closer to truth, in a way that man could not understand with this intellect, with this part of this much of the Spirit an active communication with God, in a heavenly communication, not earth communication, but a heavenly communication. If we see what we can see now, and you add another 10% to that, what in the world is it going to be that we're going to be able to see and understand? Even if we're not to open up here at this time, and we're only given to open up once we arrive in heaven, what are we going to see when we get there? It's just going to be amazing. It's going to be simply amazing. So what am I trying to say to you? I'm going way over and I don't want to do that. I'm so sorry. What am I trying to say to you? That we are starting into a very minuscule shaking. It says everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken, but that's not going to happen tomorrow or even a year from now. We're going to go into a very minuscule shaking with things that would not ordinarily be able to be shaken, will be shaken, and it's going to bring us into a time of remaking, where God is going to unfold the mysteries, so many mysteries, to his church. I've mentioned this before, I'll mention it just briefly again. We will be walking through walls. We will be transported by the Spirit from one place to another when it's necessary. We will be experiencing things that we thought was only for cartoon age, but yet there we will be in the midst doing the work of God. So what would I say? Prepare in holiness. Prepare by time spent in his word. There are things that he has spoken in this book that the only way you can understand is if the mind of Christ is opened to you. So spend time in his word. Pray that he'll give you understanding. Spend time in prayer so that you can learn to walk and talk with his Spirit. And know that the days ahead, I don't care if they look kind of rough on the one hand, on the other hand, they're going to be more than glorious. Thank you for joining us. Bless you.